Who wants to have some fun?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Well, let's start the insanity.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special bonus edition of the Sports Report Podcast with Brad and Clay and our awesome guest on today's show, one of our best friends in the world. We've been trying to get him on this show for months. It's such a pleasure to finally have him be a part of this podcast, and that's our good friend, Carterdale Brooks Holsey. What's up, Carterdale?
Well, nothing much. Thanks for having me on.
It is so cool to finally have you part of this thing. Ask you guys, how you doing tonight?
Can't complain. Glad it's Friday.
I hear we got like a wild night ahead of us. Is that true?
Need to come down and play some poker.
Some poker. See, that's the thing. I'm not that good into poker.
Not that hard.
Unless you guys are planning on playing Goldfish or, you know, Uno or something like that, then I'm
open for anything.
Never on Goldfish.
See, I mean, Goldfish, you can win a lot of money on Goldfish, too.
Oh, yeah?
Most bet games in Vegas, I heard.
Oh, wow.
That's not true. But we are going to get to so much in this podcast, this little quick, fun, you know, who knows what could happen. Things are going to get weird, probably. But we're going to talk about the situation at the University of Alabama and a couple of players being suspended there. We're not sure what's going to happen to them just yet, all the full length of what's happening. But we'll get to that. We'll get to San Antonio Spurs. Maybe the end of an era there with one of the best power forwards in the league and Tim Duncan. We'll also get to a little bit of the NBA playoffs where we're at now in the conference finals between the Warriors and the Thunder. And we'll probably just leave the Cavaliers and the Raptors out of this thing because that series is pretty much over anyway. But Carter, I just want to go ahead and ask you what your opinions are right now in the conference finals between the Thunder and the Warriors.
Well, I think it's going to go 7 games. I think that the Warriors in it, but, I mean, so far, I mean, Westbrook and Durant have not played a good game yet, and they're still tied up 1-1. I mean, if you get a good Durant-Westbrook game, you know, I set up the Warriors overall, but I think the Thunder can stretch it to 7 games. But they need to get something, from Dion Waiters. They need a third scoring option of some kind.
Yeah, that's the thing with Serge. You know, his production on the offensive end's been declining for like the last 2 years, it feels like, and that's a guy who he's open for these, you know, long jump shots or even three-pointers, and they're leaving him open because they know, you know, his shot's not there. So they really do need someone, like, you know, you're right, to step in when Kevin Durant's getting double-teamed and Russ, you know, that's a guy who, if he's not attacking the basket, you're really not scared of his perimeter shot anyway. So they do need someone, I think, to step up and get some buckets late. They did a good job in the first game, I thought, with some bench play. Enes Kanter got some points in the paint that got him, obviously some offensive boards as well. So they had some help around in the post, I thought, with Steven Adams and Enes Kanter in the first game. But the second game was the Warriors really playing, you know, the way we are accustomed to see them play all year. And that really took the Thunder out of it, especially when Steph Curry goes off for 15 points in a span of about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I think what's weird in the second game is, was even with their big lineup in, with Adams and Kanter, the Thunder was getting out-rebounded by the Warriors, and they can't afford to have Kanter and Adams in the game at the same time if they're not getting scored for them.
Yeah.
Right, that's their best lineup in the series. Your advantage there is to rough up and get boards against the Warriors, and when you're not doing that, you're just getting beat on both ends of the floor at will. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Game 3 Sunday when these teams go back and, you know, the coaches go to the drawing board and make some adjustments. But it's really going to come down to who goes out there and gets offensive rebounds or, you know, able to. You know, it's really interesting, too, when you look at the Warriors and what they're able to do whenever they switch. Like whenever they have a big on Curry, you know, Serge Ibaka actually does a really good job of guarding him whenever it's, he's out isolation and he's on ball defense. It's pretty good, but what the Warriors have been doing is whenever they get switched on a big guy like that, they take it to their advantage and run these cut plays and screens, and that leaves Steph coming wide open off of a curl for a wide open shot.
Yeah. I mean, Adams has done a pretty good job guarding to guard, I've thought, but Kanter has not. Kanter has a pretty bad trying to get out on Curry. I think what the Thunder got to do going forward is they got to get some matchup with Westbrook down in the paint with Curry 1-on-1. I think, you know, physically Westbrook is much more physical than Curry and better size. I think he's just got to work him in the paint and try to make him tired on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the only spot they really have.
If you can get that matchup, you definitely got to exploit it. You kind of worry maybe if, you know, sometimes it's not going to happen because you're going to have the Warriors do one of their best things on defense, which is switch and get the right matchups. Even when they're not there, they tend to force it that way after all the movements are made. But if you can get them backed up in the post and get, you know, kind of get them backed up a little bit and rough them up, we've seen them actually in game two. We've seen the Thunder, Kevin Durant give a couple of hard shoves to Steph Curry, and Russ did the same thing. Cantor got him roughed up a little bit, and you saw Steph kind of get a little irritated by all that. So I think maybe the Thunder kind of have that mindset a little bit where they want to rough him up as much as they can to at least try to get in his head or whatever they can do to stop him from, you know, going crazy from three-point land.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the Thunder did what they needed to do in the first two games and still won, headed back to Oklahoma City.
It's going to be cool. I mean, that's one thing nobody really thought that was going to get away with a win, and, you know, really, especially in game one. No one thought the Thunder were going to go in there and steal that game, and now they kind of have home court a little bit. They can go back home to go to Oklahoma, that is, and at least win, you know, split the games. If not, win both. That'd be pretty sweet to go back to Golden State with it being tied up at 2-2 or even 3-1 lead.
Yep.
So I want to get just your thoughts real quick, too. I know we talked a little bit about the Raptors and the Cavs a little bit. We're not going to go too much in great detail about it, but there's one thing that's kind of interesting about this whole thing is during last night's game two, when the Raptors were down, I think it was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 like it was for most of the night until they got, you know, really bad in the second half. Kyle Lowry checked out the game and goes to the locker room to, quote-unquote, decompress. Okay, there's no injuries going on. There's no, like, you know, he needed to get his mind right, so he went to the locker room for exactly for about 3 minutes. And in that span, the Cavs went on like a 12-2 run and extended their lead even more. I mean, what's up with Kyle Lowry going and getting a little, you know, timeout? What message does that send to the Cavaliers when one of your best players, your all-star guy, is having to go to the locker room because he's so mentally worn out?
Well, he may be an all-star guy in the regular season, but he hasn't played like it in the playoffs, besides maybe, game 7 of the last series.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been terrible. The whole Raptors team has been pretty awful in the playoffs.
I mean, it's been pretty... I mean, a lot of people were talking, you know, the regular season, going into the playoffs, a lot of people were saying the Raptors were the favorite to win the East before, you know, the Cavs came out shooting like red hot from three. And, you know, off the big three, cool enough they are. I mean, it's just kind of strange. I mean, it's like 9-day difference with the Raptors from the regular season to the playoffs. As far as decompressing, if it had worked, I guess it'd have been a great thing. But, I mean, they got blown out.
Yeah, I mean, now, and the whole thing with Dwayne Casey giving a pitch, you know, saying, you know, none of you guys believed in us, pointing at the media and everyone watching the game. Now we're kind of giving reasons not to believe in them watching this series against the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
It's been a strange playoffs because they, you know, we expect a little bit more from the Raptors, I think. And really, you think about it as a whole, their first 50-win season in franchise history, they're here in the conference finals. It feels like a huge disappointment the way we're looking at it now, but really this is, you know, arguably the best season this franchise has ever had, but it doesn't feel that way.
Well, they've always had that rookie on their back of struggling in the playoffs, you know. So that's actually the best they've ever done in the playoffs, technically, as bad as they've looked at times. So,
but I mean,
if they don't lose DeRozan in free agency, and which they probably will, you know, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I thought as a Raptors fan, I wouldn't really be that optimistic about the future. I mean, I would be happy because we're a good team. We're not doing too great in the playoffs. We're probably gonna get swept by the Cavs. But I don't know. Next year seems like it's a question mark for me too. So I don't really know the direction that they're going to be heading in. So it is kind of a mystery.
And that is scary because you look all around the East, and what have we been talking about on the last couple of shows, Clay? And that's how well these other teams are starting to make stride and gain ground on, you know, teams like the Hawks and the Raptors. And, you know, teams like the Celtics and hopefully, you know, some other teams going down the stretch as well, trying to get up to the top 3-4 seeds. We could see a similar year like we saw out of Indiana this year, where they were down to like the 7 or 8 fighting, you know, just to get in the playoffs late, and they finally squeak in there. So maybe have a similar season next year for the Raptors.
Yep, it's looking very possible. I think they'll definitely take a slide next year. I think they,
I really think this whole Raptors getting to the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference thing, this that whole series with them and the Miami Heat, it was really similar, you know, like the last 2 or 3 games compared to the Clippers series against the Blazers, because the Heat looked like the better team in the series when they were all right, whenever Hassan Whiteside was out there. And, you know, you had everything working for you with the offensive shooting, and then you had the boards and the defensive side with Whiteside being out there as well. You take him out of the game, and you take even the Raptors' best player in the playoffs so far, Jonas Valanciunas, you take him out, and the Raptors still have the advantage just because there's no one left in the paint for the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I think if everybody stays healthy for the rest of that series, the Heat probably advance, and we see this crazy thing with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James facing each other in the conference finals.
A better series, in all honesty.
I think so, too. I was kind of pulling for the Raptors, but I knew it would be better series altogether if the Heat, the better team, I thought, we could sneak in there and face them in the series.
That would have been interesting.
And now we have got to the point where the Thunder, now they're in the Western Conference Finals, but before that, they took out the San Antonio Spurs, beating them twice at home, which is something they didn't do all regular season long, lose 2 games at home. And now, Carter, we have a lot of questions surrounding San Antonio. They have an opportunity to get some big names in free agency this year, and we could see one of the biggest names in their franchise possibly retire.
Yeah, I actually think I'm leaning towards that's what's going to happen. I'm pretty sure right now that Manny was done. I mean, he just didn't have anything left in the team this season, and from all the reports I've seen, he's probably going to retire. Duncan's a little bit of a question mark. However, as you watch the playoffs with him, he just has nothing left. Like, his knees aren't there. I mean, we really needed him on the floor for his size against the Thunder, but, I mean, you can't play him because he's getting bullied by Adams and Cantor. So, I mean, as sad as it is, it might be time to hang it up. I know you probably want to go out with a championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Should have went out a few years ago.
Yeah, well. But, I mean, you should have taken the pace. He had a pretty good year last year, and he had a pretty good series against the Rockets, I think, last year in the playoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just was a big decline this year. And, I mean, I think it's about time to hang it up, as much as I hate to say it.
That's what I think.
Do you think?
But, I mean, Spurs did have a chance to go get some guys in free agency. There's been some talk about going after Mike Conley. And then, you know, there's been a lot of Durant rumors, which I don't really believe in, but there have been some Durant rumors.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. I think they definitely go after a guy like Mike Conley. You mentioned Pau Gasol. You get those two guys alone, and you still have LaMarcus Aldridge. You even have Tony Parker come back, which I think he'll play another season. But you have him come back. You have Kawhi Leonard and some other key guys. I mean, I don't think this San Antonio team's going away by any means. They're going to be around as long as Popovich is around, the Spurs will be in contention. And it'll be interesting to see if they can go out and get a guy like Kevin Durant, which isn't too far-fetched because of the admiration and the respect he has for a guy like Popovich and that franchise amazingly ran by R.C. Buford.
I mean, they're not going away. I mean, even this year, it wasn't Duncan's team this year. It wasn't Parker's team this year. It wasn't Ginobili's team. It was Aldridge's and Leonard's team this year. And that's how it's going to be going through the future. Now, this thing that's going to tell if, you know, this lineup or it's the big two of Aldridge and the championship top, you know, roster, as if Leonard continues to develop, he still needs to be more assertive on the offensive end. Yeah. At the time of the playoffs, you know, guys like game 5, Parker was taking a shot at the end of the game, even though Leonard was having a great game shooting and Parker was playing terrible. Leonard still wasn't being assertive enough to take the ball and score at the end of the game. That's the thing with Leonard that he needs to do going into next year. It's going to be more assertive, like a Durant or a James or any of the superstars. You know, when it's crunch time, he needs to have the ball in his hand. But as far as Durant rumors go, where do you play him at?
The 3.
You got Leonard at the 3. You got Aldridge at the 4. Do you move Leonard to the 2? But I mean, he's not really a true 2. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And that also means if you bring Durant, you probably have to trade off Danny Green. which, granted, his offense was pretty bad this year, but he's still one of the best defenders in the NBA. So there's lots of decisions to make if you're going to go after Durant.
You know, one of my favorite moments watching basketball in this season has been when Kawhi Leonard is really just handling the ball, and then he goes up and he smashes the rim with a dunk, and he goes back the other way, and you look at his reaction in the face, and there's no change at all. You would never know that he just slammed the dunk in somebody's face, or he just laid it up by himself and, you know, completely alone. That's one of my favorite things about Kawhi Leonard, just watching him play, how composed he is at all times, no matter what facet of the game he's doing at that particular moment.
See, that's also a problem with Leonard. He needs to be a little bit more vocal, especially towards the ref. Like, if you compare any player of his caliber, he probably does not get the equal amount of calls just because he doesn't argue with the refs enough. He doesn't, you know, when he gets hit, he absorbs the contact. He doesn't block. That's something that thing. He doesn't get to the line enough. And that's another thing that you saw in the Thunder series. You know, Grant Redford gets to the line. Leonard's making get some of that same contact, but, you know, just because of the player he is, he's not getting the call.
That's true.
Good point. I like that. It's you know, interesting, because this is a guy who, you know, we talk about being so composed. You see all these other guys, you know, how expressive Kevin Durant is when he doesn't get a call, which I feel like him and Paul Millsap are the two guys who don't get any calls in any game in the NBA, especially Paul Millsap. But I see Kevin Durant just throw up a crazy shot and it not go in because he's just suspecting a foul, and it never happens. You see him slam his arms and slap his legs or whatever. That's kind of something like a similar version of that, like a smaller version of that, is what you want Kawhi Leonard to be able to do, more composed, where he won't get a technical thing. But yeah, just a guy who can get to the foul line and get to some easy buckets, because that's a guy you want to rely on down the stretch if you need him to.
Yeah.
So Carter, I want you to tell us what is going on in T-Town, man. We have a lot of cool things on the horizon for Alabama. They just come fresh off another national championship. The big story, of course, has been who's going to be the quarterback this year. We had a really interesting A-Day with four quarterbacks looking pretty decent. But now some news broke last week that's kind of shifting us in another direction and kind of changed the focus of the news.
You've seen Cam Robinson, future top 10 NFL draft pick at the time, get arrested for having a stolen gun and possession of marijuana at a park at 2:30 in the morning. So, you know, bad decision making. And also arrested was Hootie Jones, who, you know, probably wasn't going to factor in much this year.
He had improved. He had a good spring, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, he wasn't going to beat out Ronnie Harrison or Eddie Jackson.
No, but he did
So, like, yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. He was charged with Cam Robinson was charged with a felony. However, from what I've seen, from some lawyers in Monroe were saying that in all likelihood he's going to get dropped down to a misdemeanor. But yeah, I would assume he's still on a team, but then it comes to the question, you know, how long is he going to be suspended for?
Yeah, that's the thing we don't know yet, is the impact it has on Alabama going into this regular season.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we open up, you know, Alabama opens up at USC week one, so you're going to need your best player week one. I mean, it could probably still be USC without Cam Robinson, but it'd probably be a much closer game than it would be without.
Yeah.
And then week three, you got Ole Miss, who Alabama hasn't beat in 2 years.
It's a growth.
At Ole Miss. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, if I had to put money on it, if this dropped to a misdemeanor, not a felony, I'm going to say a 2-game suspension for Cam Robinson.
Wow.
Interesting.
But I could see it as long as half a season, too. Yeah. I mean, it's just stupidity.
I don't think Saban's just going to rush him and put him back in the starting. I don't know. Saban will probably, I don't know. I could see Saban not starting in his first game back, you know.
I could see it too.
Putting him in at the end of the first quarter or halftime or something. So, you know how Saban is.
But it comes to the bigger questions, like, you know, with this console thing that came out in the draft, peace bars. It's like, people say, you know, that over pretty much the whole league smokes weed. But you know what the whole league doesn't do to get arrested for smoking weed? They don't go to a park at 2:30 in the morning and have a gun while they're smoking weed.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at it, an Alabama team, probably 70% of the team smokes weed. But most of them are not stupid enough to get called.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's potentially millions of dollars that Cam Robinson just lost doing that.
And that 70% of the people who smoke weed includes the coaching staff, like Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, those guys as well.
Kevin probably does.
You need Joey Freshwater.
Joey Freshwater.
Yeah. That's the nickname that Kevin goes around the bars to pick up women with, Joey Freshwater.
Oh, wow.
You haven't heard that?
I haven't heard that.
Uh-huh.
Probably true.
Well, yeah, you know, him and his wife separated, so.
Yeah.
But, anywho, and then the real question is, you know, you start that tackle and how the offensive line works out if the offensive is defended. Because if you watch A-Day, the offensive line got tore up, especially by Tim Williams, especially Corin Kerbin on the left side.
And does USC have a Tim Williams?
Well, not necessarily, but they got athletes.
They got good athletes.
And, I mean, Tim Williams is a first-round pick next year, especially if, you know, if he comes back and plays like he did last year. Yeah. However, it was just, I mean, and also, you know, in A-Day, you don't have to, you don't double team like you would in a regular game. You don't really seek out certain players, you know, with blocking assignments. But, I mean,
you also don't blitz much.
That's true, too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Right now, you know, the line at A-Day was Kerbin at left tackle.
A former defensive tackle, plus a defensive tackle, then moved him to the offensive line.
Then you had Lester Cotton, a big four-star guard prospect out of Tuscaloosa,
good player.
True sophomore, started on left guard. Then Ross Pierce-Bocker, he started at left guard last year for Alabama, moved to center, and Von Kelly departed. Which I like that move.
Yeah,
I think. Then the surprises on the line was, instead of Shank Taylor at right guard, you had Brandon Kennedy.
I'm not saying Shank is that stupid. He didn't do anything illegal. But Alphonse Taylor, everybody calls him Shank Taylor. I don't know why you want to be named Shank. But anyway.
I'm sure there's a backstory somewhere that makes some sense.
I mean, he struggled with his weight. How big was he during spring?
And it's there's a report of him being anywhere between 350 and 360.
360 pounds, guard. He's a senior. You got to keep your weight down. It's an excuse.
Supposedly, David said he had to get down to 320.
Whoa.
So, if that happens. And then, you know, you had that. But you had Brendan Kennedy playing for him. He was a freshman.
Yeah.
Undersized, but evidently smart. And then at right tackle, you had a stud, 5-star Jonah Williams, 2 freshmen, Ernie Rowley. But he is a pretty small guy. He came in, I think, around 289 at tackle. So, definitely need to put on some weight.
Yeah.
So, when you look at that, you got to decide, you know.
And then the backup left tackle was a converted center, Bozeman.
Which, I mean, I don't think that's the actual backup left tackle. I mean, if you look at it, I would say I don't think Kerbin had any shot at left tackle.
But it hurts even worse because Charles Baldwin, who was a 5-star JUCO tackle that was supposed to come in and start, he's no longer on the team. But he was a bust. He looked like he was a bust anyway. He was on the third string. But still,
he's very raw when they
But he could have eventually developed.
Yeah. They're just going to have to death now.
So now that's 2 offensive tackles potentially that Alabama's down. I mean, Alabama could definitely be starting either a true freshman or a converted defensive lineman at left tackle against USC. That's pretty scary. They might move Lester Cotton over from guard to tackle. They might move Pierce-Bocker, which I don't want them to move Pierce-Bocker considering he's in a new position right now.
They could move Pierce-Bocker back to guard, and, you know, you got J.C. Hassenauer, who played some and played at Ron Kelly last year.
Didn't look too good. Remember the Texas A&M game, Brad, when Kelly got hurt, we couldn't even snap the ball?
It was terrible. It was awful.
And it's pretty telling that he was a backup center last year and he got jumped over by someone that was playing left guard.
Yeah. But Saban obviously didn't have very much confidence in him that he moved his guard to center. So I think I don't want to label him a bust yet, but he was the number one center in coming out of high school, I think. It's his third year, and he's been passed by a guy.
I mean, also got passed by Casher. Also got passed. He was the number 2 center in the country coming in the same year as that. Now
I think they just want a good, proven leader on the
center.
But I mean,
with all this, let me ask you guys: do they get this settled? Do they have everything they need to do? And, you know, let's say Cam is suspended for the first 2 games. Will they have everything they need? Will they have it all figured out by the time they go in and play USC in the opening game?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you ask me, the starting if I was Coach Saban, which I'm not, I don't get paid that much. In my opinion, looking at the roster, the starting line for me would be Jonah Williams at left tackle. That's because even though he's a true freshman, he's a bit smaller. I think that would probably lend him more to the left tackle spot. Yeah. Make it a little more athletic, handle the pass rushers more than he would be an asset in the right tackle where you want a stronger guy for the run game. At left guard, I would actually probably put either Bradley Bozeman or Dallas Wormack or Brendan Kennedy, depending on who you want there.
Yeah.
Pierce Barker at center. And if Shank gets to waves, which is a big if, I'll probably have him at right guard. If not, it'd probably be Kennedy. And I'd probably kick left of Cotton at right tackle. He's a big guy, supposed to be very strong, probably a good right tackle for the run game.
Yeah.
That would probably be my starting five.
But then when Cam comes back, you'd have to put him at left tackle, and Williams, you'd have to switch the whole line up again after two games, you know. So it's not the fact that he's not going to be there for two games. It's the fact that it's going to throw off the continuity of the offensive line entirely, you know, and start in week three against Ole Miss potentially or whatever. You know, the offensive line's going to have a few weeks to gel with, say, that starting five Carter just mentioned. And then when Camden gets back, you know, they might have to move Cotton back over to guard and, you know, Jonah Williams move over to the right side. It's just going to be, you know, the line is not going to be able to get much continuity. And I don't know. It'd almost be better if he missed the. Well, you don't want to say that you want him to miss the Ole Miss game, obviously. But from a continuity standpoint, I don't know. It aggravates me.
And honestly, if you look at that, if we're out without Cam Robinson and Shane does not get under pressure late, we will return one starter from last year's offensive line to Pierce Barker, and he would have a new position.
That's scary.
That's essentially five new starters.
That's pretty scary.
And anybody that watched that from last year, the offensive line was not that good.
Yeah, that's true. It could be. How many times did Henry get tackled in the backfield? I mean, how many times was Coker sacked? The offensive line, they won the Joe Moore Award, which I don't see how. What's the next projection, man? We got abused on the right side. And Shane Taylor, even if he does come back, was one of the worst linemen on the team last year. So it's not like it's just, I don't know. I think that's another reason why I'm saying it's so mad, because Shane really wasn't that good, and he can't even keep his weight down. That's a big reason why he wasn't that good, because he's slow. And he would get beat because he's not quick enough, and then he would fall start because he was trying to get a head start, you know? So it could be a mess up front for Alabama. It could.
It's saying that.
And all we did was win a national championship last year.
Yeah. I think we finished 114 out of 128 in negative yards today last year.
Wow.
But it's the thing. With this offensive line, who do you want to play quarterback? I think that throws out David Cornwall right now, because you've got to have somebody who can run away from pressure.
Well, Cornwall couldn't hit the broadside out of a barn on any day, so I'm not a Cornwall guy. I'm
not either.
Well, what's your thoughts on quarterbacks, Brad? Have you seen the young guys?
I really like what I saw from... And I'm a guy who was last year a big Barnett guy, thinking, you know, hopefully we get the chance to see this guy out there. Of course, you know, Jake did his thing. But this year I was looking forward to maybe Blake taking the lead a little bit. But then I saw a little bit of Jalen Hurts, and, man, that was pretty impressive.
I like him, too. And there's rumors that Saban would consider it. I mean, he's never considered starting a true freshman before, but I heard that Hurts you know, he's that smart and everything that I think there might be a package for him. That's what the rumor is, you know, listening to the radio.
I heard that about Barnett last year, though.
Yeah.
And also, I remember last year that Lane Kiffin was really pushing for Blake Barnett to start. But the thing is, Barnett, if he would just quit with the stupid play,
I think
he looked really good in 8-8, one snap, and the next snap he would almost throw an interception or actually throw an interception.
Yeah.
That's where I heard went all through camp, but, you know, he would have great plays and bad plays.
Take the bull by the horns.
I mean, if he can eliminate some bad plays, I think talent-wise, he's the starter.
Yeah.
Bateman didn't show much at 8-8. I just don't really see him being that good.
You don't have a big enough arm.
Hurts looked good at 8-8, but he also made some plays, you know, that his biggest pass play of the game was a tip pass that should have been intercepted. So, I mean...
Depends on mobility. Well, top three of those guys have... Supposedly, Bateman has good mobility, too, but he never runs, so what's the point? I don't
think he has much agility. Like, I think he's got straight line speed. You know, they moved him to a wide receiver last spring, or last fall.
Last spring.
And supposedly he runs like a 4.5 40, but he doesn't seem like it.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean...
You can't arm.
You can't tell much in spring game. Cause, I mean, if you look at it before 2014, the Red Sims looked terrible in spring game. Goes out and has the best year of any quarterback in Alabama history. And last year, Jake Coker looked pretty bad, and then he comes out and has a pretty good year.
Can any of those three guys stretch the field? That's you know, we got weapons we can, you know, Ridley, Foster, Stewart, we're stacked at receiver. Can any of those guys stretch the field? They have a big arm?
Bateman does. That's one thing Bateman, Barnett's supposed to have a big arm, and so is Hurt. But Bateman and Corbell had a big arm, but Bateman did not. Bateman doesn't have a big arm. That's going to be...
Yeah.
But Brett Sims didn't have a big arm either. I mean, you don't have to have a big arm.
He can
arm.
Throw it deep, but he can throw an out.
Yeah. You can throw deep balls all day with a weak arm. Armstead talked about how he can throw like a 15-yard out.
Yeah.
Anybody with a weak arm strength can throw a deep ball. I mean, you're just lofting it. You're not trying to throw a bullet.
Considering Blake Sims' skill set, I think Cooper Bateman or Barnett could duplicate the success that Sims had. I'm pretty optimistic, honestly, about the quarterback situation, if we can keep him protected.
I mean, so far, Kiffin is 2-for-2 to the quarterback.
Yeah, two pretty rough projects at Blake Sims and Jake Coker. You know, they're not NFL players. And yeah, you're right. He is 2-for-2 with two, you know, the best tools to work with.
Coker started off kind of rough, but I mean, and Sims had some rough games at the beginning, but as the year progressed, they got better. I just want to see Kiffin be able to have a quarterback for 2 or 3 years and see what he can do with
him.
That's a good point, because we've had, you know, what? It was like three years
ago. No, he does. Sorry to interrupt. It's kind of Malzahn taking over. Malzahn supposedly never had a quarterback for 2 years in a row up until, like, Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work out that great in the second year, but anyway.
And I mean, it was this year's defense. We shouldn't, I mean, this I don't want to say it, but this could be a 2011 this type defense. I mean, it's going to be much better than it was. I mean, that year's defense was good, and it's going to be better this year. Because it's been that defensive line. But
we're going to be better.
But starting 11,
yeah,
especially the secondary, would be better. So the point is, we're going to hold people to...
We're going to be better against teams like A&M and
Auburn.
Tennessee and Auburn, you know, the fast-paced, hurry-up teams. Okay. We might not be as old as... We might not be as good against Arkansas and the LSUs of the world, because obviously we lost Reed and Robinson and Reggie Ragland, but man, we found some guys. We got a JUCO guy coming in. You know, we'll weather the storm against those power teams. You know, that's Saban's specialty. I mean, that's the easiest offense to prepare for. So I'm not really worried about that, but I do think we'll be better against you know, hurry up spread type teams.
And it's not hard for them kind of teams that scored that many points on us in the past, even if we're not as good against them in this year. How many points did their offense, LSU's offense, score on us last year?
Right. Oh, yeah.
How many are Arkansas? I mean, if we give up a few more points against them, is that going to be that big of a deal?
No, probably.
But with the offense, you know, can keep up.
The games can be, well, they might not score 3 points, but they might get more first downs.
Yeah.
It'll be close. I expect the Arkansas and LSU games both to be much closer this year.
Well, I don't know about Arkansas.
Well, Arkansas game might not be much closer, but it'll be a dogfight.
Brennan Allen was a very underrated quarterback last year.
Yeah. Well, his brother's the new quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't always work out.
We'll see.
So
I think Arkansas is going to be pretty good next year. Probably about like they were this year, 7 wins.
So let me ask you guys this. What do you make of Alabama and Nick Saban going out and offering a scholarship to 8th-grade linebacker prospect Jesus Mercado out of Florida?
They offered Dylan Moses in the 7th grade, and he's the number one player in the country next year's class.
Wow. I guess Saban knows, huh?
I mean, sometimes it comes back to biting the bug, because Lane Kiffin offered that quarterback in 8th grade, and I think he ended up, like, playing wide receiver or something like that in college.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. I mean, the kid has measurables already. I mean,
he's pretty big. He's big. He can play safety right now, and he's only in 8th grade.
Yeah.
He's, like, 6 foot, 190 pounds. I mean, yeah.
Then Moses was offered by LSU and Alabama in the 7th or 8th grade. And
that's probably his two finals. Final
15s are aren't. Well, Texas is in the fourth.
Oh, yeah, remember, yeah.
I think it comes down to Alabama and LSU.
Yeah,
sure. Especially at Bennett, we're going to be a linebacker after this year.
Yeah. That is interesting, though. Where's he from, did it say?
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah, it's from Florida. It's I'm going to mess up the name of the town, probably. It's Hialeah, Florida, a Catholic school down there in the swamp of Florida.
I
How much you want to bet he transfers to IMG Academy in the next 3 years, 4 years?
But see, people are making big deals because, you know, Alabama offered him. He already had offers from NC State and Michigan State. So, we're not even the first ones to offer him. But since, you know, it's Alabama, everybody makes a big deal about it.
Well, you know.
Which is probably a good thing, because if they're not making a good big deal about it, I mean, then maybe you suck.
So, Carter, what do you want to make, or what can we make, do you think? Let me ask you this. Are you excited for the new Everett Brothers CD coming out on June 24th?
I am very excited, actually. The first two singles, Ain't No Man and Sweet Sadness, both of them, the first few times I listened to them, was like, but the more I listened to them, I really like it. Pretty excited about that. I have a new RCP in June. Yeah. Also, we do a Band of Forces in June, so it's a pretty big month of music. Also, one of my favorite bands, Diary of Planet, is coming out with a new album in June.
Who?
So,
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
it's a big month of music for me.
Somebody at work was saying that Eric Clapton and Bob Dylan were coming out with new albums, and I don't know about that.
It's about Radiohead, if you're into Radiohead, but I'm not a big Radiohead fan.
Yeah, I'm not either. They have a new song out. It's not bad. I gotta confess something to you guys though. I did listen to the new RACP song and I did not dig it at all.
Really? I actually digged it more than I did dig their last album. I really thought it had a throwback to almost a By the Way type feel.
Yeah.
Like a song with the album. You know, over like almost a Venice Queen type vibe to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just the kind of music that I've been, you know, getting in the last month and a half or so, maybe it just was a different sound and all that, and
I don't know how to describe it. It has that piano in it, like their last album, though. Now, their last album had a lot of piano in it, which I'm not a real fan of for RHCP for some reason. I mean, it went good. It's a pretty good song. I'll probably get the album.
You also know RHCP has a pretty bad track record with the single. Their singles usually aren't the best songs on the album.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought Rain As Maggie was one of the worst songs on that last album.
Yeah, it was. And then if you look at Stadium
Arcadium. It's a pretty good song, but I didn't listen to it that much.
Stadium Arcadium, they released Hump Debunk, which is not even close to
Oh, gosh.
You look at
Snow was a good one.
Danny California is okay.
Danny California was the main single. Yeah, it's not even. I think Snow's a much better song.
Or Wet Sand or.
Right.
Or She Looks Amazing.
Slow Chia. She looks to me should have been a single.
Straight My Mind was in a single.
The whole album was just
I think the only other single was Death of Christian Smile, which that's actually a really good song.
I think it was just a single in like Europe or somewhere. Well,
I don't even know what they're doing.
Death of Christian Smile's a good one.
They also, like, you know, if you go to forward the singles off of By the Way. By the Way, which is a good song.
Right.
By the Way.
That's probably it.
University Speaking, maybe?
Yeah, that's
not
a good one. It's okay.
Oh, Can't Stop.
Oh, duh. Yeah, Can't Stop is one of my favorites. What's the one where it starts out with the heavy bass? I'm a body.
Don't Forget Me.
I should have been saying that. That was a dang good song.
It was just been on that one. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
You got three out there playing the lead bass.
They should just release their whole album with singles.
I mean, pretty much.
Their B-sides are pretty good, too.
The B-side of I'm With You actually better than songs on the album. But I think I'm excited because I think a second year in the band with the new guitarist, Josh...
Something
of that name.
The guitar did sound a little more like John Frusciante to me.
You could see with the first John Frusciante album, Mother's Milk, was second album, Give It Away, was much better.
Mother's Milk, they were still in their punk. Too much funk.
And, you know, Give It Away was when they really started transitioning. You know, you still had some of that funk stuff. You know, had Thirst Stop Effect, you had Funky Mom. But then you also had songs like, you also had songs like I Could Have Lied, Under the Bridge.
I Could Have Lied, man, was song.
I know.
Yeah,
RCP,
man, they're like the Beatles of the 90s.
That's high praise.
Oh, gosh. They're the American Beatles of the 90s.
I'd like to note how I brought up, you know, the teaser about the Everett Brothers' new album, and it turns into this whole breakdown of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the music and the evolution they're going into for their next album.
Yeah.
Wait a second. They actually did a Beach Boys in the '90s. So people sing about California all the time.
Yeah, they're from California.
Yeah.
Good point.
They said I'm surfing some.
I heard Anthony Kiedis is in the hospital. So I'm not really.
I heard it might have been like some kind of gastric or something. I heard he would probably be okay, though.
Well, he likes drugs too much.
Who doesn't, man?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. He wrote it in this book. Yeah, and everything. You're right.
Well, we gotta go see him, dude.
Yeah, let's go, Brad. You're, maybe they'll be in,
I heard he'll be in Europe in the next couple of months. So we just drive, we'll travel to Europe and then go see him. Like,
man, road trip. Let's go.
Yeah.
So Carter, what's been going down in H-Town and in Huntsville the last couple of months, man? I haven't really heard much from you. Been kind of quiet ever since the national championship.
Just been a big, lot of work. Work's been pretty hectic the past couple of months. In the end of semester, you know.
Now, yeah. Does all this hard work and a lot of work, does that have anything to do with, you know, you catching pretty much every March Madness game all at once on that crazy, awesome TV that you have over there?
I was working. I took my laptop in there. I was working and watching March Madness.
That's the way I want to work. I want that to be my office.
I'm not going to watch March Madness.
That's true.
I watched this next championship game on. With, you know, it has like 9 screens. So just threw it up all over the whole screen. Watch the next championship game. Probably doing some work up there.
So your laptop or
on the big video wall?
Oh, wow.
That shot is pretty nice when you see it, you know, and
yeah.
What a crazy new game, too. Mm-hmm. One of the best basketball games I've ever seen.
I agree.
Which game was that?
The Villanova at UNC next championship game.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy, man.
It was. Marcus Page hit that shot. I was like, holy shit. Oh, holy crap. And then about 5 seconds later, there's a, what's his name,
it's not important.
They got him to Villanova.
Yeah,
it wasn't a Roxy 15-0 or whatever. Then.
What do you think about the confetti guy, though? Man.
He knew this was happening.
He had his finger on the trigger.
Yeah, like 2 seconds after the ball goes in, it's... blows people's head off, too.
I guess confetti's going to go out either way. But it was it Villanova confetti, or was it just all regular confetti?
I think it's Villanova confetti. I think they have Villanova colors, and they have UNC colors.
I think the game was tied, wasn't it?
Do what, Brad?
I said the game was tied, wasn't it, when he made that shot?
I think was it tied or UNC was winning?
I think they tied it up. So if that was to go off like that, and he misses the shot, they have to have a 20-minute TV timeout and everything.
That's what they're saying. Like they said, if the shot didn't count, they're gonna have to clean up all the confetti and everything before they get played overtime.
He was like Trump with that nuclear button. He just hit
the button. I didn't know he did politics on this podcast.
That was. I almost wanted that to happen more than him making the shot, because I wanted to see what would happen if, like, all of a sudden, this the whole court's, you know, covered in confetti, and now I have to clean this up.
Well, it would have went to a commercial break 3 or 4 times. And then we just started talking about. They would have been talking about the game, and it would eventually evolve into talking about what's for dinner or something. You know what I mean? And then it finally got cleaned up.
Speaking of dinner, what is for dinner tonight, guys?
I think we're going to make a seat. It's
going old school.
Old school, man. That's classic homegrown Mexican food.
We might go to 1889, but I figured it'll be packed and mixed food will be cheaper.
You know, I love 1889. A lot of you guys introduced me to that place. It's a really cool place. Only thing is I feel like, you know, the middle-aged 42-year-old guy going back home, and all of a sudden you see this. All these kids who are like 18, 19 with beards, full-grown beards.
Yeah.
And they're getting drinks and watching the game and listening to live hipster music. It's kind of a weird scene.
It is.
Yeah. It's going to sound kind of like a mean comment, but it's like a cool place for Fort Payne, but like, you know. It's not a cool place for Huntsville, Chattanooga, but it's a cool place for Fort Payne.
Yeah. They got a good beer selection. They got a
good Fort Payne beer selection.
Oh yeah, it's by far the best. It's the only place in Fort Payne you can go and get craft beer, except for maybe a Yingling somewhere. But
even craft.
technically, but, you know, it's in the craft section at the grocery store, but, yeah, it's pretty much the only place in Fort Payne you can go and get, you know, a line Kugel or a Good People or
anything, yeah.
Pizza. Yeah. Place beer that Carter takes for granted.
Well, just so you guys know, listen to the podcast, Carter's like a beer connoisseur, man. He knows everything there is to know about pints, and I don't even know how else to explain it besides Carter taking it away and kind of describe your knowledge for the beverage.
Yes, I drink a lot of it. But no, it's just something, you know, it's almost a hobby, you know, trying new stuff.
Tell you, I had a really hoppy beer the other day, and I'm just not a hoppy guy.
You gotta drink it.
It was a 420 hoppy.
See, you gotta you gotta. The thing with hops is the more you drink it, it's like when you first start drinking beer. You gotta keep drinking it, you know, kind of acquire taste.
Yeah.
The more bitter you get it, then you become obsessed with it. You drink more and more bitter stuff, and now I'm already past that. Like I've got like bitterness isn't. I mean, it's like all beers are about the same amount of bitter to me. Like it can't really change.
I mean, it's like I was drinking hay or grass.
See, now my new thing is it's called a sour beer. It's like tart and sour. That's my new thing. It's pretty good.
They
don't. But I went to Rock City Brew Fest last weekend. Pretty good time.
Should have went.
You should have.
Chattanooga's having a Brew Fest coming up pretty soon, right? BTW.
I think pretty much every Saturday, or actually every Thursday, is some sort of Chattanooga Brewhaus Brew Fest thing, because they got that. You know, there's this group that goes down.
Brew Brewhaha.
Do what?
A real brewhaha.
A real brewhaha. But they have this big thing every Thursday night down there at the Brewhaus downtown, and it's basically what that is.
So how many craft breweries does Chattanooga have?
A lot.
You got Turnbull, you got Big River.
Kind of Big River. That's where we went. Isn't that office a restaurant?
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
Yeah, I've been there.
Well, yeah, Turnbull's a restaurant. Big River's a restaurant.
Oh, so not Brew Pubs?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with really good food.
Yeah. Is Fat Tire Chattanooga?
No, New Belgium's in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, yeah. You talking about
actual
breweries in general? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I have to find out.
I just know the restaurant ones that serve their own brew, like Terminal and Big River. And, there's more.
The Huntsville's only got one brew pub. They got like 8 or 9 breweries.
Wow.
Big, because there's a lot of engineers in Huntsville. A lot of engineers end up quitting and like opening breweries.
But there's a lot of German beer in Huntsville.
There's also a big German population in Huntsville, so that probably contributes to the beer drinking. But they have a every Thursday they have a beer garden at the Rocket Center. That serves German food and have beer, like German beers and stuff like that.
Is whole garden German beer?
No, they're Belgian.
I like whole garden.
But German beers are like Hefeweizen's, Pilsner's, and other. They have other stuff, but then there's probably the most famous.
Pilsner's. Oh yeah,
we got any Hefeweizen? You're like a half-white.
Maybe they'll have some at the grocery store tonight. We'll go.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
You need to come down, Brad.
Yeah, dude.
I know. Let me just wrap up everything in the podcast, edit it a little bit, and upload it, and I'll be on my way.
We're going to go eat. Yeah, you got plenty of time, dude. We're not going to meet to eat for another hour, so it'll be, you know, hour and a half before we're back here.
Yeah,
so
bring
some
money.
Get Axie.
Just come on down, huh?
We just want to hang out with Axie anyway, so come on back.
No, I mean, it'd be cool to all hang out, because I heard, what, is Tyler going to be there and his new girlfriend?
She has to work, and I think Tyler said he might have to work early, so I'm not sure.
Oh, come on, man.
I know. What can you do? That's all we need you.
He's a grown-up now. I guess that's what grown-ups do.
I guess. Hey, we didn't talk about Titans.
Carter, Titans are going to be good or not? Go.
No, I mean, I think we're going to improve about 6 minutes this year, but
I like some of the young pieces they got. So they had a great draft.
They overdrafted some people, I thought.
Well, some safe picks. I thought the first round pick was a safe pick.
Well, I think you had to. I mean, yeah.
I would,
after the Tom, like, I don't care about Tom smoking weed because everybody in NFL does it, but like, I care about him not being stupid enough to like get someone to video him while he's smoking weed out of a massive bong.
Of course.
But I mean, I like the first round pick. I like Kevin Dodd in the second round.
Yeah,
I thought we overdrafted Austin Johnson out of Penn State. I think we should. Yeah. We had Keyshawn Robinson and Jerron Reed was on the board. I think Ashawn would have been a good pick there, but you know. Then I think we didn't really need another running back. I mean, I love Henry, but we didn't need him. With Marco Murray already on board, because it's basically the same running back. Third round pick I really liked. We got a safety out of Middle Tennessee State. He's supposed to be pretty good. I like that first round pick. A receiver out of Massachusetts. He's had back-to-back 1,200 yard seasons. And then our Mr. Relevant pick ended up like Pro Football Focus or whatever. Had him rated like a third round pick, and he got all the way to the last pick of the draft. So he could be a good guy. He got the merit award. So it'd be interesting to see how it pans out. But I can only think about 6 wins next year at the most.
Wow. Chance Formax got to step it up.
Yeah.
He got his last chance.
He's not been bad, but he's not been a top 10 pick. Like he's.
Well, they didn't sign him. They didn't do his tender.
Because they wouldn't have. He gets the tender, the fifth year option, he gets paid. It's based on all offensive linemen. So he's based on tackles, too. And we would have to pay him like $12 million for an average guard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think even if he doesn't blow it up next year, it's probably still respawn him, but we're not going to squeeze out him at $12
million. No. And they shouldn't.
I mean, the big thing is you got to keep Mark Mariota healthy next year, try to establish a run game.
6 or 7 wins, so I think it'd be good. You got to watch out for the Jaguars, and obviously the Texans and the Colts. That's a pretty tough division. That's a division on the right.
I think the best case scenario is 8-8 to push for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario this year, and probably the most realistic is probably 6-10.
I don't like the head coach hire at all.
I don't either. I think it's more of a transition hire until
probably
we like get the pieces we need.
Until John Gruden.
Finally convinced John Gruden.
Exactly. As I was going to say, John Gruden comes out and says, hey, Titans.
He's a Tennessee guy.
What's not to love? Mariota? Henry? Come on.
It already does the whole Titans fan. Annoying.
Yeah. Maybe old Butch Jones will have a good year at Tennessee, and the Titans will just scoop him up.
No. It was like the Titans fans wanted Peyton Manning to get a job in front office. Like, why?
Titans fans wanted that.
The Titans are playing at Tennessee. What has he ever done for the Titans?
Nothing. He didn't go to Tennessee a few years ago. Yeah, they tried to get him.
That, and he's the crap out of Titans every time. So it's like, Titans being a Tennessee ball for life, why do you want Peyton Manning there?
Yeah, that's the only reason why.
I like Ron Kelly, but you know, he's dead to me now because he's a Colt. I hate the Colts. I mean, the Colts are like y'all, like the Falcons fans hate the Saints. That's how I feel about the Colts. They're the worst.
I do hate the Saints.
The Saints are the worst. They're cheap. They're cheap. They low down. They're dirty.
Well, see, the Colts owner is a freaking drug addict.
He's crazy. He's never happened. Yeah, Mercer.
He literally, like, gets arrested for, like a prescription pills that aren't his, like, in his car. And at least there's nothing to him.
Oh, I know, right? Nothing ever happened.
No.
Goodell was probably scared of him. He's pretty big dude. He's like muscular. I mean, you know, he's not a fat guy. He's like a big, strong-looking guy.
I mean, I'm okay with the Jags. I don't like the Jags, but I mean, they're pathetic at the time. So it's okay.
Not for long, I don't think.
But he's not going to have any season for the time to the Super Bowl. Do you know how many losses the Jaguars won?
I thought they were pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah, 3 losses.
That's what I thought.
Including the playoffs. No, who all 3 losses were?
Colts?
Titans.
Oh, wow.
Man, I see they've been twice in the regular season, they've been in the playoffs.
Well, I guess that's why you like the Jericho.
I just don't care about them. Like, they've been irrelevant for so long, it's just like, you're like the Titans. I don't like the Texans, though. Maybe he walks a douche. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's a douche.
He's good, though.
Being good and being a douche doesn't mean nothing. I mean, you can be good and a douche, and you can be bad and a douche.
Texans are going to be good. They actually got Well, I think a pretty good quarterback.
No.
You don't like Oswald?
No. He had weapons in Denver and do nothing. If you can be about Peyton Manning, you can barely throw a football. Yeah. It's like reminds me of when people paid big money for Matt Flynn, the Seahawks did, after that one good game. Forgot about that. That you paid money you never seen before.
Yeah. Good point.
That much money. I mean, if they put it with that much money, I'd be okay with it. But that much money.
It is kind of telling that the Broncos weren't going to just let him go.
And it's like, yeah. But see, they also didn't have a choice. They had to pay Von Miller and all them other guys. So they couldn't pay him that much.
Did they get their quarterback in the future? They're not back so much. Well, look out.
He couldn't even be Auburn, dude. Come on.
I think it's a good line. I think Brad just hung up on that.
No, I'm still. I'm just listening.
Well, okay.
But yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just saying. He's got the measurables. To Mark Sanchez, and yeah, he's going to be third Republican anyway.
Yeah.
From Super Bowl to Mark Sanchez starting.
Look how bad Peyton was this year, especially at the end of the year.
I mean, I think Sanchez can be Sanchez has proven with the Jets with a good defense and a strong running game, he can be serviceable. You know.
Carter likes the Sanchez?
I don't think he's gonna be a good. I don't think the Browns have a good enough running game.
No. But defense don't take a step back too. They lost Malik Jackson, they lost Andrew Vazen. I mean their secondary's gonna be good. They still have Von Miller and they still have Wolf and Ware. I mean it's still gonna be a pretty elite defense, but they're not gonna be as good.
You don't lose
Malik Jackson and Andrew Vazen to not take a little bit of a step backwards.
And also the best statistics were showing that was the best defense in NFL history last year.
Wow. It looked like it in the Super Bowl.
Kevin.
Auburn hanging strong today.
I'm just saying, like, I hate Kevin. And the Panthers.
The only good thing about Kevin Newton is I like that yogurt.
What yogurt is it?
It's like out in a. The Iron Bowl hatred of Alabama and Auburn, but it can all, you know, somewhat be forgotten with really good, healthy, great tasting yogurt.
Well, it's not like Cam made the yogurt, but he was just flour and
the Chobani?
Gotta look out for the sugar, man. You think the whole time you think you're doing something healthy, and it turns out, damn, you're killing yourself with sugar.
As long as it's not added sugar, so that it's from fruit, it's better. You know what I mean?
All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and just get ready to close out the podcast. If I know you guys are getting ready to head out for dinner at the old classic Nick Casitas, have a fun night ahead of you, Carter. Again, thanks so much for being a part of the podcast here tonight, man.
No problem, dude.
Clay, as always, man, it feels so good to have you part of the show.
Hey, we'll see you in about an hour and a half, right?
I'm going to just wrap up everything, and I'll be on my way, guys.
All right.
Remember, guys, to check out replays of new and archived episodes of the Sports Report Podcast on iTunes. Just subscribe to our page there, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well, at The Sports Report. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for a bonus special edition of today's Sports Report Podcast. We'll see you next week.